Tony to Bowl Tone.
Greetings, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, Tony.
Episode Mullet.
Oh.
It's
well,
got
it
a
is too.
It, isn't it?
Yeah, or Moulay if he played in the World Cup final.
Yes, well, you know, if you come from the Paris end of the Mall, that was harder because I do, it would be Moulay,
yes.
Tony. However,
yes,
very interesting. We were talking off air about who we recalled as the wearer of the Guernsey, and we both concurred on one. Do you recall? Who was that?
PB, Paul Bower.
Paul Bower, the Bower Bird, we remember. But interestingly, when you go back looking at the numbers, it's a number that probably hasn't featured prominently with some of the great numbers in Carlton history. However, Justin Murphy played 115 games in the number 18 Guernsey, tragically falling one short of the record holder in the Guernsey, Arthur Sanger, who played 116 games for Carlton wearing the number 18 between 1939 and 47, and he was a premiership player. He was a member of the Bloodbath.
Yes.
But that's a long time ago, so that record has stood and remains in place for, what are we at now, 47, so that's 71 years, is that, if my sums are right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Anyway, I'll give you the rounding benefit.
Yes. So there's a Guernsey number that's ripe for the breaking. In terms of the record, but whether Moulay, comma A gets there remains to be seen.
Well, we'd like to think so, but at the moment we know it's hard going for the Carlton Football Club. We're going to review the Carlton St Kilda game. It was a 64-point loss, nearly 11 goals to St Kilda, 16-20, Carlton 7-10, Friday night clash. So what's that, 17 scoring shots to 32? Cripper, he again dominated Tone, but yes, it was not great to watch, but there was passages. I want to there was a passage in there where the future announced itself.
I think you're referring to the point of the year. Is that the poster that Harry McKay slotted? Is that the moment?
That was really exciting. His mobility for a big man is really exciting.
Oh, yeah. And look, didn't it warm the cockles of the hearts of all Carlton supporters and members everywhere to see the big fella out there strutting his stuff? Gee, he's a great mover, isn't he? For a fellow that's, 6'8", the old measurement, he just moves so athletically and... we take heart from performances of players of the future like Harry McKay on a night where, sadly, you're trying to erase these games from the memory bank.
Yeah.
They're just horrible, horrible contests. Well, no contests at all, really.
Well, no, but see, you take out what, I guess, you salvage what you can. You look for the diamond in the dung heap. And there was one string of play...
So not the Harry McKay.
No. This got me really, really excited. It was Lockie O'Brien, Paddy Dow and Zach Fisher all in a chain. It ended with the ball going out of bounds because of some pressure applied. Nonetheless, the skills exhibited, the speed and just the presence of those three players. It was a snapshot of the future.
Yes.
And to me, that's what I took away from Friday night.
Yes. And I think where we are in our evolution, you have to look at those, as you say, the diamonds in the dirt, where Carlton's heading, and that is our future, as you've articulated. But my crikey, it was a long night, wasn't it?
It was. And, you lose Cruz early.
Yes.
That's going to hurt. And then, of course, that chucks all your structures out the window. You mentioned Harry McKay. He's in the ruck. So
yep.
I'm sure that wasn't in his planning. It may not have been the majority of his planning going into Friday night.
No.
But that's where he finds himself. And then that's where St Kilda won the game.
Yes. And I suppose, Tone, this probably goes against the script a little bit, but we're talking... we're recording in the wake of the Silvani interview on Footy Classified.
Now, I didn't have the pleasure of seeing it, but in the pre-record chat that we had with Lucy and yourself, both of you were very impressed by Sauce's performance. Can you give us a review of that, please?
Well,
don't.
Well, I was somewhat surprised that someone from the club would actually volunteer his services to take the hot seat, as it was, but Sauce, to his credit, put his hand up. Look, he came off the long run. It's fair to say that he went in pretty well prepared because he was basically throwing it back on particularly Carolyn Wilson, Matthew Lloyd, who were querying the selection strategies, you know, and some of the names that have been brought into the club. And what he did effectively articulate was the modus operandi behind getting certain players in to actually affect a chain reaction with trades and new players. And I think the example he gave was the deal involving Kerridge that I think resulted in Menzel heading to Adelaide.
Yeah.
Menzel since...
That's Troy Menzel.
...been delisted,
yeah.
Troy. And a pick being involved that was later used to land Charlie Curnow.
Who? Never heard of him. Yeah. Yeah, what's he done?
So he articulated the case very, very well, and he defended the club's and his own actions, obviously, over the past of the 2.5 seasons of the rebuild. And if you look at the reaction in the wake of that interview, you know, on social networks and wherever, a lot of Carlton members and supporters who have felt to a man, woman and child like soft targets these last few weeks were so thrilled that someone with a bit of clout at the football club was going in to back the club and the decision-making to the hilt. And you also had people non-aligned with the club that were each commending Silvani on fronting up and basically stating the club's case. So the general consensus was 1-0 Silvani. It was a great performance, and I urge anyone that may not have seen that particular interview to call it up on the net, because it is well worth a look. And as I said, Stephen really articulated the club's position pretty well.
Well, it's how he played the game, over 300 of them. With
nice
that kind
backhander
of spirit
for Lloyd too at the end, so it's worth a look.
Yes, Lloyd, who by rights should have ended up at Carlton.
Well, John Lloyd was unfortunately tiptoed by Barassi, you know, in the 60s, played a few games for the club here, and you do wonder what might have been had John Lloyd hung on for 100 games.
Anyway,
you know, might have been a different story.
That's by the by, Tone, but I did want to pick on, because the Herald Sun, I didn't see it, I just read a transcript of it in the Herald Sun, but what did come through was that Silvani, Soss, was absolutely committed to the rebuild process and to the coaching future of Brendan Bolton. And he used the phrase I always identify now with Wayne Britton, sticking fat.
But Wayne Britton made that fashionable, didn't he, to a point? But, look, I agree with what you're saying. I think, yes, to articulate the club's position, he mentioned... You know that the fallout from the rebuild isn't ideal. I mean, you want immediate results. Everyone does, but the reality is that it just doesn't happen that way. So I think again impressed upon Carlton people the need for patience. But what he did stress was that every decision that the club had flagged, they had. Had gone with that. They said that they would rebuild the team and strip back, which they've done. They told the members that they would be drafting in young talent, which they have done. Now it's fair to say that there's probably going to be more of a focus on experience.
Yes.
But they're sticking the course, and they are operating to script. So Carlton members, while it is, you know, hard to watch on at the moment, are left under no illusions that this is part of the grand plan. And you know, to borrow a well-used word, we're all on the journey.
Yeah.
And the journey continues.
Well, yeah, look, as far as Soss's eye for talent, I think it was on display. We're going to mention Zach Fisher in a moment.
Yes.
You do mention older players. Daisy, we saw Devil Daisy and Good Daisy on Friday night. There was a goal on the run that was a reminder of just how spectacular he is or was as a football talent. But there was also other moments there where, as a senior player, you just think, where did that brain snap come from?
Yes, fair call. Look, Daisy, he has his fair degree of knockers, I guess, but looking at it in totality, I think it's probably been his best year for Carlton.
Mm.
You know, at a moment in time where we need whatever experienced players we have up and about, really, really setting the standard. And I think that he has done that.
Mm.
He's a chirpy fellow. He's a, you know, bubbly, effervescent sort of character. And I think that's good for the club, notwithstanding the experience that he brings based on, you know, he's a premiership player, so based on his years in the game, I think he's important in other respects to Carlton, the young Carlton team at the moment. And in actual fact, I think it was on the program, Footy Classified, that might have been Talking Footy, I can't remember now, that they were talking about the impact that experienced players had on their respective groups. And
yeah,
the classic example was Luke Hodge at Brisbane
and
what he's actually done to really bring that young group together. So I do think that for the Carlton team circa 2018, Dale Thomas definitely has his place. And I think he's been, by and large, pretty commendable in the way he's gone about his work this year, because the young players we have will obviously gravitate towards those who are elder players at the club and look to them for guidance.
Well, now, speaking of younger players, Zach Fisher, if there's been one of the bright lights of 2018, it's definitely been his development. He wears a very important number to Carlton supporters, and that faith that's been placed in him to do that jumper justice has been well placed.
Well, it's a great call, Tony. He's been admirable in the way he's gone about his work this year. Love the way he plays. He's a real tearaway around the packs and gives Carlton that little bit of nip that we do so desperately need. Only a man of slight frame, you know, but gee whiz, he takes it on, doesn't he? And it's lovely to watch the way he just dashes around around the where the contests are, and he's a nice finisher. You know, he's a good decision maker, and I love him. He's a great little footballer. Yes, he is under enormous pressure, you would have thought, wearing the number of Jezelenko and Fev on his back, but he welcomes it. You know, I remember the night at Raheen that he actually met both Alex Jezelenko and Brendan Favola there, and both great players of the game took young Zach under his wing. So he appreciates the value of the Guernsey number that he wears and its place in history. And I, as a historian here, Tony, at the club, I really take a lot from players like that do have an empathy and respect for those who have come before. And I often think of, in that instance, players like Jack Silvani and Patrick Kerr, because of their obvious family ties, they really understand the Carlton story. And they're respectful of it. And you know, you can't ram history down young players' throats. I understand that. But they have to be mindful that this is a club that's been around 150 years and that they follow in the steps of giants. So that's the power of Carlton. You know, it has this great history to fall back on. And you know, it should be imparted upon the players whenever possible, I feel.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Tone. Just to cover off Zach Fisher, 22 disposals, 8 contested possessions, 5 tackles, 1 goal. Tackles were not a highlight of Carlton's game on Friday night, it must be said. Patrick Cripps did a lot of the heavy lifting there for 4 tackles.
Well, that's true too, you know, and you can go down swinging or you know, the you just sort
or
of...
You die on your feet or you live on your knees.
Well, that's so true, isn't it? And you know, unfortunately the game really after quarter time just fell away and the intensity wasn't there, and you know that there's got to be a will, doesn't there?
Yeah.
The will had probably gone with it, and I suppose where Carlton finds itself, you know, heading home towards the end of a long and arduous campaign, it's perhaps hard for young minds and bodies to sort of, you know, withstand the rigours. Don't like making excuses, but. Maybe there are mitigating factors. You know, Silvani, I think, mentioned last night how there were 16 players unavailable through injury. And at a club where we need them all up and running, Tone, that's got to hurt. So,
well, it does, because it affects continuity, it affects the cohesion of the group.
Yes, yes.
The reliance you can place on somebody that you played with for a long time, for example, you don't have that.
No.
If the list is chopping and changing every week. And,
that's true.
And just watching the game on Friday night at home, Wayne Carey was making the point just about skills. I mean, you have tired players, especially younger players, who find the rigours of getting through a full season, many without, let's say, a full pre-season.
Yes.
Skills drop off. And as he said, if you drop that mark, if you miss that tackle, that sort of thing, players who have already run into position are therefore out of position because there has been that turnover or that fumble. And that just affects everything.
It does.
And so... He just identified skill errors as the thing that was really killing Carlton at the moment, apart from all the other challenges we
Well, that's right. And you know, obviously they've tried to set, you know, pressure at the contest as, you know, one of the benchmarks for the club. And when you see that drop off, that does become quite demoralising because, you know, which, as you said earlier, you know, you want to see your team going down swinging. And that's all you ask. You ask for effort, and that's what we want to see this weekend, surely.
Well, before we quickly preview the Carlton game, Tone, we need your 3-2-1s or your 1-2-3s again.
Yes.
Again, not an easy task,
Tough gig. But I went with Ed Curnow. Again, I think, Ed, we talk about experience and leadership. Well, I think that's one player that is providing it, you know, under a fair degree of duress at the moment, Ed Curnow. Curnow boys have, you know, had a great year. Each of them in their own way, and Ed just keeps on keeping on. You know, he's a great running player and hard working player. It's, gives his all week in, week out. Love him, Ed. Yeah. Zach, we've already mentioned. I gave two votes to Tone, and three. Well, you can't go past him, can you? P. Cripps Esquire. He's done it again, and just to see him lead the way. You know, at the moment it looks like it's all falling to him.
Yeah,
but He seems to relish that, you know, bring it on. That's his credo, and you've got to admire the way he plays. You know, whether he's earning the hard pill in the middle and then force, you know, pushing forward and taking the big grab when we need it. He's a phenomenal footballer, and let's hope they can lock him in soon, Tone. We need him here for a long, long time, flying the dark navy blue ensign for his club.
That is the most fervent wish of every Carlton supporter, that signature of 1P Cripps makes it to the bottom of a contract, hopefully with lots and lots of zeros. More zeros than the Japanese Air Force, Tone.
Yes, you've just handed me your pen, which I will forward to Patrick to sign the dotted line post haste, Tone.
Oh, I tell you, there'll be a statue. If he signs, there'll be a statue of that bloke outside Princes Park, and well, there should be, just based on current form. He's amazing. We know that. And was it right that Brendan Bolton was talking through the week that, you know, he's almost... He almost has to tell Patrick just to pull it back.
Well, it's the way he plays. You're right. It's just, you know, some players have that appetite for the contest, and the you know, the more duress there is, the more he seems to respond to it. You know, he's just a phenomenal footballer. You know, and you just look at the makeup of the man, like a 6'5" midfielder that. I'd hate to play on him. You know, he's a giant of a man, and I really think this year probably is the year that, to me, he seems to have really matured as a player. You know, and he's competition elite, no doubt about it. And I don't know how we'll fare in the Brownlow Medal this year. I know we've lost a lot of games, but you would think on the sheer weight of numbers that he's got to attract the umpire's eye, surely.
Well, you would hope so.
You would hope so.
Yeah. Now, Tone, thank you for those votes. We're just going to quickly preview the Carlton-Hawthorn game. Sunday, 1:10 at Etihad Stadium. It's a home game for the Blues. We are not wearing what has to be the league's most unpopular away strip. Anyway, let's not get into that.
I'll tell you what, Tony, if they'd worn it this week against Hawthorn, they might have got away with it.
Why do we have... We wore a clash jumper against Hawthorn last time we played them.
Yeah, who would know, Tony? The game works in funny ways, doesn't it?
It does. Now, an injury update, because this is obviously key to whatever chances Carlton has of getting over an old foe. Who we have beaten in the last year?
Yes, we have. We've done recently. I remember that fantastic drought-breaking victory on the day that the 87 premiers back. And how well I remember interviewing Robert Walls in the rooms after that meritorious victory, and to see, you know, Kernahan and Craig Bradley and Silvani and all those players in the room. That was magnificent. Magnificent afternoon for the club. Hopefully they can rebound hard, Tony, and really take it to the Hawks. You know, as you say, our recent showings against them have been, you know, pretty impressive. We seem to match up pretty well against Hawthorn. So, fingers crossed, you know, the players will acquit themselves well, come out hard and hopefully, you know, return a four-quarter performance, which is what we all need. Obviously, there's some, you know, doubt with Cruiser. You know, had that scare, as you pointed out earlier in the match. Hopefully he'll be okay. I mean, Caleb Marchbank bounced back from that similar sort of scare the week previous. Wiedering, Lang and Matty Wright are all in line for selection, Tone. So,
do we expect Harry McKay to go around again?
Well, I imagine you would, based on... I'd imagine so. You know, in the run over the season, you just want to see Harry get games, you know, and I can't see why he wouldn't be out there, but I'm not a selector, so time will tell.
All right. Well, look, we watch with interest. So, again, just to reiterate, Sunday, 1:10, Etihad Stadium. It is a Carlton home game. Get on down, support the rebuild as it unfolds. And just to underscore a point, or just to repeat a point you made earlier, Tone, you would get online to have a look at Silvani, Stephen Silvani, to Footy Classified?
Very much so, Tone. I'd imagine that particular piece of footage has gone viral, Tone. It's a lot of people have seen it, so it is out there. I urge you to have a look. And might I say, Tone, just leading into that Hawthorn match, that there is a special moment to be celebrated this week, the Hawthorn game, which I probably aren't in a position to divulge details of at the moment. Suffice to say that, you know, the club is celebrating multiculturalism in Australian society.
Yeah.
And there will be a moment to be celebrated on match day, when Carlton takes on the Hawks this week.
So
a poignant moment will happen, and I'm sure it will attract interest from media outlets everywhere.
Stephen Silvani's mum is cooking pasta for everyone at the game, I hope.
Rita, it would not surprise me if Rita, you know, whipped up a very quick, you know, risotto mushroom. Yeah, she's obviously a very significant presence in the rooms as a rule.
Yeah.
Still gets down there with her grandsons, young Ben and Tom, to support Jack. So I dare say Rita will be floating around the concourse and in hopefully the winner's circle after the game, Tone.
Would hope so. Maybe Mil Hannah there handing out the falafels. Fingers crossed, we hope. Get on down, see Carlton v Hawthorn. We need to support the club, and, you know, you go for those moments that we mentioned earlier, and to be able to say, you know, I was there when Harry McKay kicked his first, or, you know, or
whatever,
that sort of thing.
You'll be there, Tone?
Yes, that is definitely the plan. And we'll see you in the rooms afterwards, Tone, singing We Are the Old Dark Navy Blues.
That's it. I still remember the words, Tony. Don't worry about that.
Good, good. All right, well, thank you to our producer, Lucy Jamison. We will catch you next week on The Two Tones. Go Blues.
Go Blues.